News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What's going on? Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:07 on Mobile Mornings. A lot to get to here in the 8 o'clock hour, including a lot of activity and a lot of conversation and a lot of speculation, as has been the case here for a while, coming out of the city of Pritchard, just to our north. And that was actually was story number one with Mayor Carletta Davis with a press conference yesterday talking about the police chief and the police department overall.
Yeah, and we'll get to some of that audio from Carletta Davis, and also I have a lot of audio from Sheriff Paul Birch, Mobile County Sheriff, who was on with Sean Sullivan yesterday. Just so happened, the second Tuesday of the month came at a great time to discuss the Pritchard PD situation, and have plenty of that audio. Plus, this hour, I want to play some of the audio from the jurors in the Lindsey Clancy trial. They were speaking out yesterday on camera and said some very interesting things about the lone holdout juror.
Yep.
Who was the only one holding out. That's what ended up causing the mistrial. He wanted to not rule that Clancy was not guilty because of mental illness. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that. Some of the craziest audio I've heard in a long time.
Some of them could be guilty of having mental illness.
Of insanity. When you hear some of this audio, but I realized this weekend there's a lot more people on the fence on this case than I initially even thought. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to some of that. But why don't we start with the Pritchard PD story, and with Sheriff Birch coming in yesterday, Friday was the deadline. What was that? It seems like ages ago because of the long holiday, but that was September 4th, Friday.
At 6 p.m. At that point, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office was no longer going to be patrolling and making arrests in Pritchard, but that was, I guess, that was taken care of by the idea of an agreement between the city of Pritchard and the county of Mobile.
Yeah, so they've truly begun discussions on contracting out the Mobile County Sheriff's Office while using this polyhire firm to find a police chief. I don't know how wide their search is, if it's from the southern tip of Florida to the northwestern tip of the country, but they're a pretty wide span as they look for this next Pritchard police chief. And Sheriff Birch had plenty to say about that. Why don't we start with the contract and what it may look like as Pritchard gets the Mobile County Sheriff's Office to continue to police the area while they rebuild the department, and how long would that contract be?
It's between the sheriff's office and
the city of Pritchard.
I think basically the county commission is the one that is doing, I believe.
So yeah,
between those two entities,
they would have to come to this deal. The Pritchard City Council would have to sign off next week, which is not a simple thing, as we now know, because there's a lot of disagreement there, especially between the mayor and the city council of Pritchard. And then the Mobile County Commission would vote the following week to go ahead and confirm that contract. But it wouldn't be month to month. That's what Sheriff Birch has to say.
By the month, is it done biannually? How long are these contracts?
It's for 1 year. They initially wanted Pritchard, being they, wanted to do month to month, and that was like an absolute no.
Okay.
I'm not going to hire the number of deputies I need to hire and just have a month-to-month contract. So it'll be for 1 year, with no option for them to back out for that year. Because for a year, the number of deputies I need to hire, I can replace through attrition and retirements rather than have to lay them off should that contract end in a year.
Yeah, and how much would the pay be? How much would Pritchard be paying to have the sheriff's office continue to police the city? I know there were some numbers floated around a couple weeks ago, and it really didn't seem like Pritchard has the finances, but here's Sheriff Birch on how much that contract would cost the city.
I mean, those terms will be worked out, obviously.
How much money are we talking about?
Right now, we're looking at about $1.2
million. $1.2
million
for the year?
Yes, and to be paid monthly. And also what will be in the contract, if we miss a payment, we're pulling out.
Yeah, and that sounds simple, right? Well, they just won't miss any payments. Well, what if they do? Birch says you would take the sheriff's deputies right back out of the city and really police only major crimes. He did get into what really the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, what they have to do versus what they would be doing basically, you know, if they weren't getting paid. Here's the sheriff.
Let's just say if Pritchard Police Department folded, you know, they are incorporated, so, you know, we could do a number of things. And if they had no police department, I'm not obligated to provide the level of service that we're providing right now. But if something, you know, homicide, something like that happens, you know, we are obligated to respond, you know, and provide basic law enforcement response to something like that, but not the level that they're getting right now.
And when we talk about the money that Pritchard has, what do they have or not have to pay the sheriff's office? Well, right now they're paying a bunch of officers who aren't doing anything, according to Sheriff Birch.
Does Pritchard have the money? Yeah.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I try not to step off too much into their business, but they still have, I don't know, somewhere between 12 and 15, 16 officers that they've not done anything with yet. So
are they still being paid?
They're doing nothing but being paid.
Hmm.
And so, I don't know, you know, what that's going to look like. You know, I know that they've involved the personnel board, and, you know, because there are some requirements there. But, you know, that they have the money to pay their police department, which was more than what we're asking for in the contract.
And so Sean was, again, on the text line. This was asked again, and Sheriff Birch answered again. You know, how bad is that corruption? And to keep coming up, would you hire any members of the Pritchard PD to your own force, to your own office? And he again said no. But I think it continues to be overlooked. According to Sheriff Birch, who has been in law enforcement for decades and has seen some terrible things during that time,
mm-hmm.
This is some of the worst. The evidence room, the corruption, some of the worst he's ever seen. Again, he started talking about the corruption within Pritchard PD.
I don't know much about Heflin.
And this came up because of another city that had to disband its police department, Heflin Alabama.
Yeah.
And someone bringing up similarities or maybe how they're different, Pritchard and Heflin. Here's Sheriff Birch.
I don't know much about Heflin, but, you know, there are some, very few of officers in Pritchard who, you know, do a good job and stay on the straight and narrow. Again, those are the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a lot of, there's the level of corruption within Pritchard Police Department is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, and again, some of the evidence room findings he went over again yesterday, you know, how in disarray the evidence room was. Remember, guns just laying out all over the department in cells.
Yeah, one of the
unoccupied cells, I believe.
One of the news outlets had photographs of it. It was mm-hmm. just incredible.
So some of the numbers, he said nearly 2,200 firearms recovered from the evidence room or rooms. Approximately, how about this, 18,000 total pieces of property have been collected, documented, and relocated. All, I'm assuming, parts of cases
yep.
that have been worked or are being worked or not being worked.
The sheriff's department has done that in the cleanup.
Yeah, in the cleanup of the evidence yep. that Pritchard PD has. He said deputies had to examine reports and run every firearm's serial number to determine whether it was a stolen firearm and which case it belonged to. And he rose the question, you know, this might not be all of the weapons. Who knows if some officers maybe took some home over that time. The evidence, he said, has since been placed in secured, insulated, and climate-controlled containers to protect the evidence. And at one point, had reportedly reached approximately 100 degrees with no air conditioning. The district attorney's office and FBI were expected to participate in a final walkthrough before the search warrant was closed and the building is returned to Pritchard PD. And then a big part of this discussion were the sexual assault kits that were left with the evidence to just toil there with no research being done into them, no proper protocol taken.
Shocking.
Since then, those sexual assault kits, and I forget the total number, but it was well over 100, wasn't it, were sent to the FBI lab to determine whether they were still usable or whether they'd been compromised. And he said sheriff's office or local law enforcement still waiting on a report from the FBI on those sexual assault kits. So that's kind of, you know, using Sheriff Birch yesterday, where things stand now with Pritchard PD, and if this contract becomes something that both sides sign on the dotted lines, how Mobile County Sheriff's Office can continue to help while the city rebuilds Pritchard PD, and that's where Mayor Carletta Davis comes in, and then we'll get into what Sheriff Birch had to say about how difficult that will be to hire for that position of police chief.
Right, and really, not to get off point here a little bit, but it reminds me when we first were learning about the water situation in Pritchard, who can help them, who can take this over? It's a risky proposition to do business with the city of Pritchard at this point, right?
Definitely, yeah.
So the water situation is still an extreme emergency.
It is, yeah. And I like that you're comparing those two, because you're right. I mean, the city of Moss doesn't necessarily want to take over the Pritchard Water Board.
Doesn't seem like they're anxious.
It's going to be difficult to find anyone to take over Pritchard Police Department. And as they try to look, I guess, outside of the area, outside of the state, maybe outside of our region down here, they're going to have to find someone who, like one of those business people you hire to save a business, and then they go on to the next job. It'll have to be someone who is willing to undertake that, or is completely oblivious to what they're stepping into, or maybe a little bit of both.
Man, you don't. Mm. So PolyHire is the consulting firm specializing in recruiting law enforcement executives. So they're the one that they've kind of passed this along to. This is Carletta Davis.
We are not going to rebuild by simply recreating the system that we had before. This process must produce a department that is professional, that is accountable, operationally sound, and worthy of the trust of our people.
So she often says the things that sound right in your ear, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, that kind of makes sense. But I don't know where you even begin with all this. But they're beginning with PolyHire.
Beginning with PolyHire. And, you know, I wonder how PolyHire came up. You know, they go Monster.com or Indeed or LinkedIn. PolyHire, the one who's been tasked with this, what, $50,000 they're paying that firm to help them find this chief?
They're already in town, and it's amazing they haven't hightailed it out, but I guess they've been guaranteed their money, and it's a deal. It's just work to them.
So Sheriff Birch yesterday, he talked with Sean about the difficulty that the city of Pritchard's going to have in finding a qualified chief.
The biggest obstacles I see with, you know, hiring a you know, good quality person for that job, you know, number, it would have to be someone who's already retired from another agency.
Okay.
Because Pritchard has no retirement system.
That's right.
So you're not going to find somebody to
take a
$65,000-$70,000 a year job with no potential for retirement. And, you know, unless something's changed, they want them to live in the city of Pritchard.
And not only that, Sheriff Birch says that that's kind of a little far down the line. Even hiring a chief is a bit advanced for where the city should be right now. They have a lot more to clean up.
Why does anybody take that job?
I don't know. Again, other than somebody who just wants to supplement, you know, their retirement. And it's going to take a strong individual. But, you know, to me, it's putting the cart before the horse. I mean, they're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a lot of mess to straighten out, in my opinion, before they start, you know, being overly concerned about identifying a new chief.
And one more cut I want to play here from the sheriff yesterday before we get to your comments on the text line or phone line at 251-343-0106. How long would it potentially take to rebuild the Pritchard Police Department into something that is actually helping the city of Pritchard and not, you know, benefiting fraudulently off the citizens of Pritchard? Here's what Sheriff Birch had to say.
How long does it legitimately take to build a police department?
Yeah, it took Sims about 3 years. You know, when they, of course, they had never, you know, once they were incorporated.
Right.
You know, we provided through contract services for about 3 years. And, you know, they hired a chief and then an assistant chief, then began slowly hiring officers. And, you know, there's a process to it.
So, I mean, we could be looking, I mean, 3 years is a, you know, normal amount of time this could take.
It very well could be.
3 years, over or under on that. What do you think? 251-343-0106.
And how's it going in Sims? And by what I mean by that is, okay, you live in Sims, you're a citizen out there. On the text line, how has that police department come along? How have they developed? I mean, you know, I make the comparisons to sports maybe too often, but if you were putting together a coaching staff, but you're starting with, I mean, Pritchard, there's nothing really to offer. I don't know where you begin, but in Sims, they have more to offer. So How is that going out there? Just to give us an idea on how this process works. And quite frankly, how difficult has it been to get it right, to get the right people in place, to get the right leaders in charge?
Right. And I'll tell you, it does have one thing to offer, one very important thing. And there's many men and women, I think, out there that would undertake it. And that's to be the person to turn things around for the better.
Yep.
Just doing that is enough for someone, but can they pull it off? I don't know. 251-343-0106. More Mobile Mornings on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 826 on Mobile Mornings. People get lost in all this. Are they residents of Pritchard? You know, there's crime in Pritchard. They're not all committing crime, for God's sakes. You have all these people that are retired there, that are older, they're on fixed income. They've got no way out.
Mm-hmm.
They've worked hard their whole lives. And you have a number of young people, too, completely innocent in all of this. And yet they're totally victimized by everything that is Pritchard.
Yeah, starting with the garbage services they
garbage
pay for
service,
that very rarely are working continuously.
No water, of course. Alabama Village, no water.
And Jason texted in earlier. He said, good morning, guys. Sounds like former Mount Vernon Police Chief Eric Petway wants the Pritchard chief position and is meeting with them this week. And I haven't heard that. Jason, you may be way more in the know than I on that. He also says the residency requirement must be a new thing because Walter Knight lives in Sims. It's also something that I do not know where Walter Knight lives or lived, and it is what the sheriff said yesterday that I was kind of relying on, where he said, unless they've changed things, Pritchard Chief has to live in Pritchard, so maybe that has changed. And Jason also noting, he said, did y'all notice that Sheriff Birch did not have a direct opinion on Paul Prine taking the job yesterday? Yeah, I thought that was interesting, the way he kind of answered that. It was very diplomatically, without commenting on their past, competitive, I guess you could call it, rivalry they had for the Office of Sheriff.
Right.
But he did say that nothing's keeping Pritchard from asking him. He doesn't know if they've asked Prine or not to interview for the position, but that's the name that has been going around, and maybe Prine's the one who first put it out there when it started showing up in news articles last week, and then he was on with Jeff Poor. But it's hard for me to believe that they're going to find someone not from here that is willing to undertake it and do a good job.
The one doing the look-in is Chuck Kimball. He's the senior director of PolyHire. And so he talks about, you know, he says they have to have a lot of local conversation. So, again, this is somebody pretty much saying the right things.
I hope to have some very key conversations with the law enforcement community, with the judicial community, with the faith-based community and the business community to find those attributes and characteristics of the next police chief.
Okay, so he's saying we need to talk to the people and get their idea. Well, you know what the attributes are for the most part. It's, can you find somebody? I mean, you're in the police hiring business. You probably already know what you're looking for. The question is, can you possibly find somebody willing to take on Pritchard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder if any outside funding could come in. You know, someone who cares about the city of Pritchard, who maybe supplements that income
talking
to find
like
the right chief.
Or?
I have no idea. Just a person or somebody or some charitable organization that says, listen, this matters enough to us that we're willing to fork over this much money for you to find the right person. I'm just bouncing things off the wall here. You know, no idea.
No, it's a thought. And there's probably philanthropists around the country who have done similar things. But I don't know where that kind of money would come from. It's interesting. Paul Prine talking about Pritchard, he put it like he's from Pritchard. He put it like this, basically, on a couple of weeks ago with Sean, said, it's part of our county. We're like all neighbors. Mm-hmm. We need Pritchard to be better for the rest of us, not just for Pritchard.
Yeah, and that was well said at the time and then well said again by you there. 8:30, more Mobile Mornings on the way. Let's listen to some of the jurors from the Lindsey Clancy trial.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
8:35 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we are great. And speaking of great, the inventory, the deals at McConnell Automotive, worth driving by and getting on the lot and seeing what you have in store right now because, you've got them coming in and going out.
That's right. We got them coming in now. I mean, Eddie Hicks, he took a little vacation this week, so we are buying cars. I got Jamie over here. We bought four yesterday, going to drive by four or five today, and we should have those here by, you know, the end of the week. And got a great-looking Bronco. Anybody looking for a Bronco, we got one sitting there. We'll have that on the website here shortly. And don't forget, we got 0% on half-ton trucks, those 26s. 27s, we're in that transition now. 27s are fixing to hit, and you want a good deal on a half-ton truck, come on by and see us.
Yep, great time to buy, and I know plenty of folks who are looking for those. And Louis, also your service department, they do a great job.
That's right. These afternoon thunder showers, speaking of the body shop, not the service department, but these afternoon showers, man, you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget McConnell Collision back there. They'll take care of all your needs. Service department, quick lube changes. I mean, we can come in here and you want to get your oil changed, you get Chad to take you back to work, or you can hang out here and stay in the lounge, watch TV, drink a little coffee, and relax for a little bit.
Yeah, you take care of them until they're on their way, and
that's right
for sure at McConnell. Hey, we appreciate your time, Louis.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louis Radup. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
We'll be talking about this Lindsey Clancy trial. Did you see that her defense attorney made a surprise appeal to Donald Trump to come on in and...
go ahead and give her the pardon.
Give her the pardon. I don't think that's not even possible, I don't believe. I know that Mark Bedrow, he's a New York City-based criminal defense attorney, he said this is not going to happen because the simple reason that there's no mechanism by law which would allow the pardon in this way. She was, I guess, we're it's a mistrial at this point, right?
Yeah, it is. And
I'll just be honest with you, it's one of those stories with all the stories that we follow closely. I was just kind of waiting for the verdict. Yeah, I was waiting for the verdict before, and I never really climbed into the details. I know generally have an idea what happened here.
Well, it seemed like the rest of the world was doing enough of that already.
Yeah.
So many people that, I don't know if every trial they dive in like this, but for some reason, and I think I know what the reason is, this one became like the A block lead story for nightly news night after night. And I do think that my take on this, which really hasn't changed, some people will say that I'm overlooking some things, but I feel that even if you are stone cold crazy, that taking innocent lives from this world should result in very harsh penalties. And it seems sometimes like a majority of people don't believe that any longer. I don't know. And someone pointed out on the text line, I think it was, let's see if it was Squirrel Vereen or...
talking about the percentage of people that would side with her.
Yeah, this texter said, the Clancy support that seems to be so prevalent when compared to the population is very minute. According to the numbers, the support for Clancy is 0.0014%. I'd like to see that number because it does seem much higher.
Yeah.
Especially once you hear from these jurors who are now speaking out.
Yeah.
But the texter said, like the old saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Yeah, I would say that probably half of the country doesn't care or doesn't know enough about this case. And I'm somewhat in that category because, like Dan, I wasn't diving in every single day.
And you got to give us a break because a lot of stories we dive all the way in. And something like this, I was just like, it kind of already had a couple of weeks worth of coverage. And I was like, I'm behind. Well, I can't. So I'll just wait for it to end. But it doesn't end.
Well, you have on a spectrum the support for Clancy. And I think a majority of the people who, quote unquote, support her and wanted her to be found not guilty by reason of insanity. First off, they'll tell you, well, that's not an easy sentence to serve either because she'll be locked away in a mental health facility for the rest of her years, I would guess. I don't know. But what is that like? You know, are they going to put her in some quote-unquote mental health facility that's more or less a country club prison? Because that certainly wouldn't be equal to the crimes that she committed by strangling, killing her three children. But then, you know, there's so many different people that support her. There are people that believe that this was all the husband's doing. That he, there's some that believe that he actually participated in the killing of these children and then tried to pass it off. Now, that one, I would say, is probably a very minute portion of the population.
Isn't there a portion
that believe that?
And well, how about the portion that says her lawyer had something to do with it? Have you heard about
that? No, I haven't even heard that.
Yeah.
So
I'll try to find some of that.
But the main argument is that she had apparently been saying that she's had these postpartum psychosis feelings for some time, and that she had been asking for help and telling people that she at times felt like harming her children. That's kind of what I've been picking up from the people that have been talking about this, and that the medical apparatuses that we have should have helped, or that her husband should have had her put away, and that that's why she should be found not guilty by reason of insanity. But let's take it to these jurors. And when you're being judged by a jury of your peers, I mean, I think we know at this point that not all jurors think like you would expect an average American to think. And I don't know if sometimes that has to do with the pool that they're drawing from. Obviously, geographically, it's a big deal because you're drawing from jurors from wherever that court hearing, that trial is being held.
Right.
But beyond that, you have the prosecutors and you have the defense each trying to pick and parse who they want on the jury, who they think is going to give them the best verdict. And looking at some commentary, I think there were 9 women on that jury. And I think the prosecutors were wanting more females on the jury because they believed that they would look at this case in the harshest light and say, I can't believe that a fellow mother, a fellow female, would do this to her children. But it looks like it went the other way, that a lot of the women on the jury, actually sounds like all of the women on the jury, kind of started to identify with Lindsey Clancy and the postpartum psychosis and were really eating up everything that her defense attorney had to say during the trial. So let me quickly first play for you the jurors who were speaking to, I think, a local TV station out there about this case. And they go in on the lone holdout juror here. I'll play that for you in just a second. But here they are talking about what they liked about Clancy's attorney, the defense attorney.
Okay.
And let me actually plug this in so everyone can hear it, not just me in the studio. Here is some of that cut from the interview last night.
Just his whole...
This is about the defense attorney, okay?
Got it.
His whole demeanor was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time, whatever he said, I don't know, but I went...
She's laughing to herself there. The defense attorney made her giggle in the jurors.
I guess he was
box.
A real dreamboat.
Because he was entertaining, which was good because we needed some of that.
Yeah.
And arrogant at the same time.
Yes.
Like arrogant and entertaining. He would go back and forth between that.
Yeah.
But compassionate.
Yes.
With his arrogance.
Arrogant and compassionate.
His compassion towards Lindsey was amazing.
His compassion towards Lindsey was amazing. Now, I've been saying this for weeks, but regardless of how you feel about the trial, that defense attorney did a bang-up job. I mean, because look at where things stand now. His job was to go in there and get her off of these charges, or at the very least, try to avoid the harshest of penalties, and he did that. And the jury definitely bought him hook, line, and sinker. One of the things they were saying they liked about him there was his arrogance, and I guess kind of giving a stick-it-to-the-man kind of attitude. But one of the things they apparently hated about one of their fellow jurors, the lone holdout, was his arrogance. And they talk about that some here. This is a longer cut here.
Arrogance is not generally an endearing trait.
No.
So, and they were just kind of giddy over his arrogance.
I think people find arrogance charming when you're the underdog, when you're fighting the man.
And when you're already basically eating the cheese he's handing out.
Yeah.
If you're already on team defense attorney.
They
were eating everything he was pulling off the plate and saying, he sounds like he was a big part of the idea that they did not convict her.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and so
not the case facts or any of that, or even Lindsey Clancy as the guy.
And she admitted that she killed her children. Right, mm-hmm. That was part of the thing. And so here they are talking about. Remember, these deliberations went on for days. And when they said there was a lone holdout, shame on me. I thought that the lone holdout was one person who said, listen, people, I don't think she's guilty. But it was the opposite. 11 of the 12 wanted to find her not guilty by reason of insanity. But they speak about that lone holdout juror with serious contempt here. These three of the jurors that were speaking with this TV station, and it is a bit of a longer cut, but listen to the very end, and I'll set it up again. Listen to the very last line of this clip.
Very arrogant. He really did not take anything that anybody said. The nurses, he tried to ask a question about the medications, and we went back to the report from South Shore Hospital. We had the toxicology report. We could see exactly the amounts. The nurses in the room spoke to that and
talked
to that.
There were nurses on the jury. There were nurses on the jury.
Yes.
Sorry.
And they spoke to that.
By the way, that was one of them sitting for the interview. I think their phone started playing a video, which we've seen happen before. All right.
That specific thing, that was a question that he had. And he just completely disregarded the information that they gave him.
I mean, he had reasonable doubt. He admitted.
So quickly, what she was saying there was, okay, we have all this information. This juror wouldn't quit asking questions about the medicine that Clancy was on. And even though we had nurses in the jury.
Which is interesting.
It is.
That there were nurses chosen, not a nurse, nurses.
To be on the jury.
You had more females than males by a good number.
It sounds that way, yeah.
And you even had nurses.
Nurses on, yeah, on the jury. And they said that, well, the nurses on the jury were explaining everything to this lone holdout juror, and he just wasn't taking any of it. We don't know what else to do. So now they talk about reasonable doubt.
I mean, he had reasonable doubt. He admitted he had reasonable doubt after we watched that video of the interview. I think that's when it was. He admitted he had reasonable doubt. And I started filling out the forms. I was so excited.
Now, was she excited because they were tired of deliberations, tired of being in that courthouse? Or was she excited because, ooh, they were about to win. They got him over to their side.
Maybe a little bit of both.
With three forms I had to fill out, and I started filling them out. I wrote my signature on each one, and then he said, but I'm still not going to say that she's not guilty by reason of insanity.
I'm not sure if rogue is the right word, Sue, but every one of us in the hours of her frustration, would get up and walk the room because you just couldn't sit anymore.
Yeah, and listen, I know it wasn't an easy job being on that jury. Must have been actually super painful sitting through all of that, the death, the death.
It had to go a month or so, hasn't it?
Yeah, the trial, for sure. The deliberation's like 4 days, maybe 5 days.
Yeah, but the trial itself is really long.
But they are really victimizing themselves here for having, you know, they're pacing around, didn't know what else to do. Continue.
And we'd all go to the cart with the exhibits. He got up to the cart once, very briefly, and went back to his seat. He would not interact with us and try to understand. We read to him on numerous occasions the definition of reasonable doubt from Judge Sullivan's instruction. He actually said one day in the end, well, why don't we have the judge come in and read it again? And we were like, no, we have it in front of us. We don't need that. And we would highlight it and, you know, so-and-so.
All right, so get ready, because the line is coming, the line of this interview.
This is the definition of reasonable doubt. But he had the hardest time getting off the fact that Lindsay viciously killed her children.
He had the hardest time getting off the fact that Lindsay Clancy viciously killed her children. This lone holdout juror, one more time.
The definition of reasonable doubt. But he had the hardest time getting off the fact that Lindsay viciously killed her children.
Yeah, that was... That's what you were ruling on.
The fact that she adds in the word viciously killed her children. So it looks like there's, and also all the support for that Lindsay that she's receiving, isn't it generally women?
I would say, yeah, a majority of the support she's getting are from women. Yeah,
yeah, you got these weird hanger-oners that are outside the courthouse and all that kind of stuff. I guess this trial's got that just like so many other famous trials have.
In a way, it's very similar to the
Mangione
trial.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a lot of female fans because he's young and good-looking. And I imagine that a lot of the same people that are supporting him and want him to get off easy in what is a pretty clear-cut assassination case are the same people that think that Lindsey Clancy should walk for this. And I know that the alternative isn't necessarily walking, but I would think being locked away in a mental institution, all the same, it's just, you know, we're a country that's ran by vibes and feelings these days, yeah. not so much by law.
And the feelings in Boston, this is in the Boston area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They had the standing ovation and all the giddiness when the governor signed the bill for abortion up until the very end.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, too.
Wasn't that a group of women basically all cheering on this amazing freedom that they were given?
Yeah, and I wonder if there is a tie to that, kind of the long-term direction of this country where abortion was at one point completely forbidden.
Right.
And you wouldn't even think of it. It's basically a murder. To now that slippery slope where, you know, some people, not a majority of people, think that it's fine to abort a baby all the way up until birth. Are these jurors and supporters of Clancy fine with her killing her three children because they weren't allowing her to live her life or because they made her crazy? It's fine that she got rid of them. What's really important is the health of the mother and making sure that she's the one that's taken care of.
I don't know. And not being at the trial and seeing all the evidence and seeing all the conjecture, who would know? But my goodness, it's all of that, when you roll it all into one big observation, it's pretty disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tone of all this and the idea that, yeah, she viciously killed her kids, but she was crazy and we should have compassion for her. I guess there should be a degree of compassion. I don't know. That is a shocking statement made by the juror.
It's pretty insane. Your thoughts, and there's a lot of them, 251-343-0106. And we'll try to get to those here in just a second. I know we have the Jeff Poor Show coming up, too, and I think we need to talk with him. So
I think we do.
We'll hit a very quick break and then come right back on Mobile Mornings.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwin gets 852, and Jeff on the way.
A traffic tip or your own take on the news. Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Get to Jeff Poor here. Minutes to the text line. Dalton, what you got?
Texter says there is no, all caps, no evidence that Clancy did it except that her husband said. I was under the impression that she admitted to it, Texter. Let me know if that's not the case.
Well, she's crazy. So,
oh, yeah.
Forgive her for
that wouldn't count, right?
Misspeaking.
Billy D says, what I'm hearing is what really won the case or got the mistrial or whatever you want to call it is the lawyer, that the jury did not like the prosecution, but they loved the attorney. He was very passionate, very charismatic, and so the jury said that was a big part of why they ruled the way they did, but
evidently,
that is part of the game. You're right on that, Billy D. And Rick says, the LSU story is much more prevalent around your listening area than the Clancy debacle. I agree with that. And that's why we've talked so much more about LSU than the Lindsey Clancy trial, but I had to play those jurors to try to get in the mind a little bit.
We've almost ignored it to this point. So we've been talking a good bit about LSU, and that tomorrow is going to be a key moment in that. Jeff Ford joins us real quick. Jeff, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me on.
Let me ask you real quick. Have you had any conversations with Pastor Travis Johnson about the Clancy trial or the abortion bill in the reaction to it in Massachusetts?
Not particular.
Okay.
No. But I think it's in that vein, the sort of secularization and the me-centric thing going on in our culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
sure, to someone like Travis Johnson, that doesn't sit well.
No, and we talk about this kind of more in a broader sense all the time. What you put first in your life, and you know, those things matter. But you know, whatever you think of how people, you know, conduct their daily lives, it's a reality. It's going on in this country, and I think like the Lindsey Clancy sort of like split here is just a symptom of that.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? Eric says the husband did it. Look at all the evidence, and says I'm a guy, and I think he did it. Classic domestic abuse case. Butterknife says y'all are forgetting they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she was not having the mental issue she was having when she committed the crime.
I'm not forgetting anything. We're just looking the whole thing over.
And kind of my argument is, line up every serial killer since the beginning of time, and what percentage of them are mentally insane? Charles Manson, why was he not found not guilty by reason of insanity? I mean, just look at the dude's eyes.
He didn't have a good lawyer.
Well, here's the thing. Like the insanity defense is part of our legal system. It's not going away. If they could get there, if they could prove that, But we got to do something to make sure this doesn't happen again. We got to take public policy cues from this, and this is why this is so important. Because now you have copycats out there, right?
Sure.
But like, if we had this mental health, if we had this mental health crisis, and it's a real thing, and a jury determines that this was a mental health issue, then we got to do something about it, because we can't have this kind of bloodshed in our country over, you know, postpartum depression.
Half the country's applauding this. This
mistrial.
Mistrial. I mean, where's the groundswell come from when so many people are like down with it?
I just think Plymouth, Massachusetts, is one of the most liberal places in America, and that's sort of the mentality right now. It's troubling, but listen, man, like, this is what people think, and this is the way they conduct their lives. It's scary. But we have to operate within those parameters. That's our system.
Well, your system is to have some great guests on the Jeff Poor Show, as you always do. Who's coming up today?
We got John Wall kicking it off. Most of these Republican candidates for anything are in Dallas for the convention. Well, we're going to talk about that and sort of the campaign. But what do we need to see, if anything, out of this convention? Does it matter? Who's really talking about it? We also got Joey Clark, as we do every Wednesday, and Dick Brubaker, fan favorite of the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah, this convention, our eyes going to be locked on it or the Patriots and the Seahawks tonight. I mean, my money's on the NFL.
Are more likely the Braves lose it to the Rays if you're at my house.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen again, Jeff, but looking forward to your show here in just a few minutes.
All right, thanks for having me on.
There we go, Jeff Poor Show. It's next. Dan and Dalton, see you in the morning.